From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo delivers his 8th State of the State address. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the governor's proposals, and we'll take a look at some of the stories in 2017 that are sure to continue in the new year. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo, in his 8th State of the State speech, told lawmakers this week that 2018 will be the most challenging year, and they will have to fight against what he says are threats from the federal government, as well as announcing steps to combat sexual harassment and reform the state's criminal justice system. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt was there and filed this report.
Happy New Year to all.
Cuomo told lawmakers, the state's top judges, and hundreds of others assembled at the state convention center that 2017 was a tough year by any measure. But he says,
2018 may be the toughest year New York has faced in modern political history.
Cuomo told lawmakers they will all have to work together to fix changes from the federal tax overhaul that no longer allow New Yorkers to deduct state and local taxes from their federal tax returns. Calling the tax overhaul an economic civil war, he says he's studying revamping the state's tax structure to convert the income tax into a payroll tax. And he vowed to file a lawsuit to overturn what he says is double taxation.
We believe it is illegal, and we will challenge it in court as unconstitutional.
Cuomo also outlined anti-sexual harassment proposals announced earlier that would end secret settlements and state taxpayer-financed payouts to victims, as well as establishing a statewide whistleblower protection system for alleged victims of sexual harassment.
Our country is finally taking a long look in the mirror as to how we treat women, and we are disgusted with what we see.
The governor also referenced the state's ballooning deficit. There's a $4.4 billion structural gap, and he says at least $2 billion more dollars in funding cuts in health care are coming from the federal government. Cuomo did not offer many details on how he'll deal with the gap, saying only that Santa Claus did not visit the state capitol this year. Throughout the speech, the governor, who said he'll seek re-election to a third term this year, railed against the politics of Republicans in Washington, saying they are divisive and threaten unions and gay and transgender rights. He says New York is different and will offer an alternative vision for the nation. Cuomo ended the slideshow accompanying his speech not with a picture of New York, but of the Oval Office in the White House, and he took a shot at President Trump. The governor says hanging in the president's office is the flag containing the seal of the United States of America, and on it is engraved the words E pluribus unum, or out of many, one.
Right behind President Trump's desk, to find the way forward. The president only needs to turn around.
Democrats, not surprisingly, liked the speech, including Senator Dianne Savino of the Independent Democratic Conference.
It's probably one of his better speeches. It outlined the stark challenges that the state is facing in terms of our financial situation, the effect that Washington is going to have on us.
Senator Brad Hoylman, a mainstream Democrat, says the governor, considered a potential presidential candidate in 2020, sounded like he could be running, and he says he's okay with that.
I think the governor always sounds like he could be a national candidate, but the reference at the end of the Oval Office was none too subtle.
Cuomo has said right now he's just concentrating on being governor. But Republicans said Cuomo did not focus enough on New York State and its problems. Assembly GOP Minority Leader Brian Kolb is the only announced Republican running for governor.
Well, I absolutely think he was focusing on his national aspirations. And certainly this was a self-promotion speech at times.
Senate Republican Majority Leader John Flanagan says the governor should have talked more about New York's economy and the exodus of its population. And Flanagan says he's not sure that substituting a payroll tax for the state income tax is a good idea.
It sounds like if you're going to give an additional benefit to a corporation, which is kind of antithetical to what the governor was saying about corporations.
The Senate leader says he'd like to hear more details on how to curb spending and reduce taxes. And he's likely to get that when Cuomo releases his state budget in 2 weeks. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Meanwhile, community leaders rallied outside the governor's mansion on New Year's Day to demand that Andrew Cuomo fulfill his commitment to Albany families to address growing pollution concerns. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas explains.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Activists called on the governor to stop a proposed gas power plant in Sheridan Hollow, invest in renewable energy solutions, and join State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman in supporting a corporate polluter fee in New York State. Leaders say communities of color in Albany have had to deal with serious health problems, including oil trains running on rails bordering residential areas along South Pearl Street, diesel fumes from truck traffic in the South End, as well as past exposure to the old Answers trash burning plant in Sheridan Hollow, which operated from 1981 to 1994. Now, the state is considering a natural gas cogeneration plant with a microgrid to power and heat the downtown Empire State Plaza. Environmental justice advocate Elaine McCall says she knows many people who lost their lives due to cancer caused by the Answers facility.
In 2018, we are faced with the threat of another occurrence of the same thing. New residents in the same area will be exposed to deadly toxic emissions. It's a silent killer claiming yet more innocent, unsuspecting lives. But not this time. We will not be silent.
No.
It is deliberate, it is calculated, and it is inhumane. It must not be allowed to happen again.
South End resident and parent Chenille Bernard says her main concern is helping children, regardless of race or social position.
We need our school's water system updated as soon as possible, especially in the South End schools.
That's right.
Too many children are suffering with asthma due to the diesel trucks and the bomb trains, which for some of us is in our own backyard. Children are suffering with extremely high lead levels due to the rusty, outdated pipes, not only in our homes, but in our schools. Governor, we, your neighbors of the South End, need the funds for the CFE released as soon as possible.
In November, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced the state would award funds to replace lead water lines in several mid-sized cities, including Albany, where some water service lines date back to the 1820s. The city tests for lead every 3 years and has found no high or unacceptable levels in water samples. In the summer of 2016, WAMC investigated the residents' struggle with air and noise pollution at the expense of quality of life, what some call environmental racism. A year later, the State Department of Environmental Conservation erected a state-of-the-art air quality monitoring system on the Ezra Prentice grounds off South Pearl Street. Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan.
We're going to get the facts, and we're going to report those back to the community, and then we're going to figure out what we need to do to make sure that residents here can rest easy at night, that they can see their children play at that playground across the street and not worry about what they're breathing in.
The results of that study are expected to be released later this year. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok.
Well, Alan, we witnessed the 8th State of the State speech by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday. It was a tough speech. He certainly targeted the federal government, suggesting that the Trump administration's tax overhaul plan was a partisan swipe, pitting the blue states against the red states, and going on to suggest that New York will look to change its own tax code. A number of other steps the governor introduced, things like combating sexual harassment and reform of the state's criminal justice system.
David, if this guy wasn't running for president, you sure fooled me. We had a vox pop afterwards. Virtually every single person who called in was amazed and delighted in Blue State, New York, about how this governor was taking on the president of the United States. And he was, in no uncertain terms, talking about changing the New York tax system in such a way that the deductions would continue. It's going to get very creative, let me say, and I don't know that the IRS will permit it, but there's all kinds of ideas about making donations to the state, and as a result of that, being able to continue to make the deduction. I'm really not quite sure what it's all about, but this governor was extraordinarily forceful in saying what could be done and going after Trump in virtually every way possible. It was a masterful effort. I'm not convinced about how nice the guy is, but let me say he was a force yesterday.
Meantime, the state witnessing a potential $4.5 billion deficit and how they're going to fill that gap. The governor certainly is facing the perspective of these coming trials as well this year, along with how the IDC in the state Senate, the Democrats, and uniting in an effort to handle a lot of these problems.
David, look, this guy has a lot of problems, obviously. This major trial is coming up in which the people he trusted the most are on trial for really, some very déclassé, sort of stupid greed manifestations. He chose them. No two ways about it. He referred to one of them as his third brother, who the father really liked more than he or Christopher. So you have to hold a person responsible, even if they're not criminally responsible, for who they chose. And I think a lot of people are going to be looking at that. On the other hand, this strong anti-Trump approach that he is doing is going to get him a lot of adherence, you know, in New York. So we'll watch it as it goes. If I was thinking sitting there that Ms. Gillibrand, the junior senator from New York, Kirsten Gillibrand, could not have given the speech that Andrew Cuomo did. She's a big threat to him because now people around her are talking about her running for president of the United States. He also has de Blasio to contend with, who's already made a trip to Iowa. So he by no means can be the only person coming out of New York talking about running for president.
Well, certainly you mentioned Joe Prococo and the trials and the issue at the time of procurement. And I see, Alan, that Governor Andrew Cuomo may be sensing a push from lawmakers in both chambers to overhaul procurement, is supporting a provision to do so. He's backing the creation of a chief procurement officer and supporting legislation that would allow the comptroller, attorney general, and the procurement officer to collaborate and make recommendations regarding initiatives to better enable the public to track state contracts and audits.
Shame on this governor. Shame on him. Let me put it this way. He was responsible for taking the pre-audit function away from the comptroller, who is in the Constitution. I mean, he's there to be the comptroller, to be a separate voice. No matter what happens, we know that Andrew Cuomo doesn't care for this comptroller. And he tried to interfere in his electoral process. Tom DiNapoli is, without question, the best of anybody who is serving in state politics right now. And the fact that the governor and he gets his cronies in the legislature to go along with it, takes away the pre-audit function from the controller. Now listen to me, everybody. What in heck is going on here that now he wants to have yet another guy inside his government who is going to do this as opposed to somebody watching the fox from outside the government, the controller? This is something, and I say it, and I've said it before, shame on this governor for having done this.
Finally, Alan, some news came out over the weekend. That's Harry Wilson, a Republican potential rumored candidate for governor against Governor Andrew Cuomo. He's a Democrat. Said he's not going to run.
He's a good guy, and I'm sorry to see it. He may be right up there among the very top of those Republicans who, given the right circumstances, would have a shot at having a competitive election. You know, you got Andrew Cuomo, $27 million or something like that in the bank, despite the fact that little people aren't contributing to his campaign a la Bernie Sanders. So it is a difficult situation to find somebody who can run against those kinds of odds. Of course, the governor has trials coming up of his closest colleagues, and who knows what's going to show up in all of that. George Pataki came out of nowhere and beat Mario Cuomo, one of my great heroes, who had just stayed around maybe one term too long. Third elections are a lot. But right now, Andrew Cuomo is doing very well in the polls. It's really too bad when a major candidate drops out, because in a democracy, that's what you want. You want elections where there are choices.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Now that we've bid farewell to 2017, the Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn takes a look at some of the bigger stories of the year and some that are sure to continue in 2018.
The year began with a shocker, word that the Indian Point nuclear power plant would close by 2021. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced the decision during his State of the State.
I've personally been trying to close it down for 15 years. Finally, this year, I'm proud to announce that we have an agreement. Indian Point will close in 4 years, 14 years ahead of schedule.
Indian Point parent company Entergy announced the closure separately, with President of Entergy Wholesale Commodities Bill Mull offering his explanation.
But I want to ensure that you understand that the decision to shut down the plant was ours, and ours alone, and due to economics.
Riverkeeper, a longtime opponent of the Buchanan-based plant, is also a party to the closure agreement. Task forces on the state and local level were assembled to address a wide range of issues, from the impact on taxes to energy replacement. In February, the State Department of Health released the first round of results from its Newburgh PFOS blood testing program, which began in November 2016 following news of the city's PFOS drinking water contamination. Health Department Deputy Commissioner for the Office of Public Health, Brad Hutton, said the results were higher than the national average for PFOS blood levels.
National average currently is 5. Here in Newburgh, the levels we saw were 18 to 20 on average.
Results continued to stay around the same on average. Newburgh officials called for more outreach in a city of some 30,000 residents with a large low-income population. The state's blood testing program wraps up December 31st. U.S. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer and Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney were in Orange County in November on the PFOS issue. Here's Schumer.
We need the Air Force to designate Stewart as the top cleanup site in all these United States.
The two Democrats were at Washington Lake, Newburgh's main drinking water supply, where the contamination was found. New York declared the Air Force Base a Superfund site in 2016. Meanwhile, the city continues to draw water from the Catskill Aqueduct, while a new state-funded carbon filtration system is ready to reconnect residents with Washington Lake water at the beginning of 2018. However, local officials and residents have concerns. In June, the Clearwater Festival returned to Croton Point Park after a one-year hiatus, and the U.S. Coast Guard shelved future rulemaking decisions regarding additional anchorages on the Hudson River. The decision came after more than 10,000 public comments, with some 94% in opposition. Maloney called it a major victory.
I don't know of anything over the last 12 months that I have worked harder to kill. This proposal was a bad idea from the start.
The Coast Guard directed a study as part of its PASA process, or Ports and Waterways Safety Assessment, and workshops in Poughkeepsie and Albany were held in November. It remains to be seen whether the Coast Guard will return with a revised proposal. The first span of the new Tappan Zee Bridge opened in August after the state legislature approved naming the new span for Governor Andrew Cuomo's late father. Controversy over the name continues, with a number of residents and local officials pushing for the name to include Tappan Zee. In October, Merlin Entertainment CEO Nick Varney was in Orange County to announce that Legoland New York in Goshen would open in 2020. Supporters tout job creation and economic development, while opponents say the theme park will destroy Goshen's character and negatively impact the environment and quality of life. The Democratic wave in November extended to the county executive race in Westchester, where State Senator George Latimer defeated two-term Republican incumbent Rob Astorino. And much earlier in 2017, potential Democratic candidates to challenge New York Republican Congressman John Faso of the 19th District began emerging. A field that once neared double digits heads into 2018 with six challengers. Former New York Congressman Maurice Hinchey died in November at 79. He had suffered from a rare neurological disorder. Mourners at his funeral mass in Saugerty spoke of the Democrats' environmental and other achievements, retired Middletown High School teacher Fred Isaacs among them.
He was a selfless man who seemed to be absolutely dedicated to the projects that he worked on. And as people said inside, he was idealistic, but he was also passionate. And he led with his heart, and he knew what was right and what was wrong and followed it. He didn't equivocate. And that's what we loved about him.
You can hear more 2017 news highlights at WAMC.org.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
And that about does it for this week's show. Get help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1801, or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustino.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.